Back on the Rubicon, I have a very special guest, someone that's near and dear to my heart, coming in. John Gorman. I knew that I had made it 5 years ago when I started this show as a podcast, before Sirius XM, before we were syndicated nationally through Bloomberg. I had John Gorman to come on the show, and John is an individual with an extremely prolific healthcare career. If you've heard of Gorman Health Group, which many of us that are in the industry are familiar with, that's John's baby. Then also, he did a lot of significant work within the Clinton administration. So it's important to have individuals have been saying that we're going to have some of the biggest and brightest minds in the industry coming on the Rubicon to discuss healthcare, and really here on Sirius XM channel 141. HR Voices. I'm trying to create, John, a coalition where we're bringing in the big guns to help my listeners know what's out there and how they should react in the voting booth, how they should react when they're managing their benefits and what healthcare plans they're going to matriculate to. So it's great to have you on the show, John, an old friend, a mentor, someone I really respect, someone that's been on the speaking circuit for many years. So thank you for giving us some time.
Always a pleasure, brother. Thanks for having me back.
Absolutely. I'm gonna get right in. We have the legislation passed last week with the Trump administration, the big beautiful bill, so to speak.
Last night. Yeah.
Absolutely. And its impact, and I'm really trying to get people in to discuss the impact. And we all know what's out there in print. We know that there are between 17 and 20 million people who could lose their benefits. We know the cuts to Medicaid. We know the downstream implications when it comes to people that may not get a mammography or may not get a screening, and how many lives are put at risk. But I really wanted your lens from someone that's literally run these programs, kind of an architect and a godfather, so to speak, of these healthcare programs, the modern, CMS and HHS. What does this really mean for my listeners long term, beyond just what we can see, what's being reported on CNN and MSNBC? What does this really mean?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, first, let me just say, in 35 years here in Washington around the health policy world, this big, beautiful bill, as they called it, I'd prefer to call it the big, ugly bill, is literally the worst sandwich piece of legislation I think I've ever seen in my entire time here in D.C. And it's part, James, and I think this is really important for listeners to understand, it's part and parcel of what I think we can only describe as like a full-blown, all-out war on the poor, on DEI, as we think of it, as, you know, initiatives to encourage diversity, equity, and inclusion. And it's a shredding of the social safety net. When you step back and you look at not just this bill, but then all the cuts made by Elon Musk's Doge in the run-up to it, all of which was done to help finance what is in effect a tax cut for billionaires, and the biggest expansion of a domestic police force in ICE that we've ever seen in this country's history. So let's just kind of look at the first 100 days and look at this bill as part of that backdrop. This bill includes almost $1 trillion in cuts to Medicaid over the next 10 years. And interestingly, none of those cuts hit until after the midterm elections in 2026. So they're trying to mitigate the damage because they know that Medicaid cuts of this magnitude are disproportionately going to impact red states. And that millions and millions of Trump supporters are going to get screwed by this bill in ways that I don't think they are even aware is coming. This bill cuts over $320 billion from SNAP. That's the food stamp program. So this is the biggest cut. Not only is the Medicaid cut the biggest cut to that program in its history since 1965, but these cuts to SNAP are the biggest cuts to food aid in American history. We saw the firing spree that Elon and his chainsaw went through at all of the agencies that I think we really care about. So at the Department of Health and Human Services, at the Social Security Administration, which has a massive indirect impact on health, by eliminating some 50,000 staffers and closing Social Security Administration offices across the country, we're going to see service disruptions and delays. And, you know, most seniors depend on their Social Security check as their only source of income. So, you know, we're going to go back to the bad old days of seniors having to eat dog food or cat food at the end of the month when the money starts running out because of this slashing of food assistance. The Trump administration ban on DEI went way beyond just getting rid of affirmative action in a handful of government agencies. This was a cover to eliminate entire programs that that millions of Americans depend on. For instance, under the auspices of DEI, these guys of eliminating DEI, these guys eliminated some of the biggest HIV and AIDS prevention programs in the country. We look at the firing spree at the Department of Housing and Urban Development and the massive reductions that we're about to see in Section 8 housing waivers, I think is going to result in a doubling of the homeless population in this country. They also eliminated what we call the LIHEAP program. That's the low-income heating assistance program on which millions of seniors and others depend, and which is in effect going to render, you know, millions of people's homes uninhabitable in the summer in the South and in the winter in the North. And all of these things are going to have massive impacts on health, especially among low-income seniors. We just saw yesterday that they're going to cut 30,000 staffers from the VA by September, which means veterans' health is very much in danger, especially in rural and red states, where, you know, those cuts are going to be felt the most because they're eliminating, you know, remote doctors, especially mental health professionals, from the VA payroll. So, you know, Medicare Advantage plans are going to see a big spike in claims from veterans who are members of those plans. So those are just some of the examples, James. And we could dig even a layer deeper than that to really show how scary this gets. But I don't think we can characterize this as anything but an all-out war on the poor just to finance a tax cut for billionaires. It's just disgusting. I've never seen anything like this in 35 years here.
If you're just tuning in, I'm talking to John Gorman, healthcare leader for many decades, an expert, consulting leader, and now really someone that invests a lot in social determinants of health programs for people of color, for people in rural areas. I got to ask you this, because what's troubling, I'm not partisan on the show. I've told my base, I don't care who you vote for. I don't care what you think. I mean, I have my own beliefs. Just make sure that you're educated and you use the system to work for you. So you vote for policies that benefit you. I am flummoxed and just really can't wrap my mind around. You mentioned that many of the cuts are going to have a deleterious impact towards President Trump's base. Why do people vote against their own interests for healthcare? I just can't understand it. You've been around multiple administrations. You've seen this movie many times before. Why do people vote against themselves? I mean, if you need dental care, you need oncology care, you need diabetes care, what would compel you to vote for someone who's actually going to take those benefits away, leaving you to rot with disease?
Well, first, I think one is that most Medicaid beneficiaries who are going to get hurt the worst by this have no idea that this is coming. And I think a big part of that has to do with the fact that most state programs, state Medicaid programs, are not called Medicaid at all.
Right.
For instance, here in D.C., or it's not even called Medicaid. Here in D.C., it's called Healthy Family. In California, it's called Medi-Cal. In Arizona, it's the Arizona Healthcare Cost Containment System. In Wisconsin, it's Badger Care. So when people hear, you know, historic cuts, draconian cuts to Medicaid, I suspect a lot of people don't even know that this is coming because their state program is called something different. Now, let's just say they do understand that. Then I think the only explanation that we have is what Lyndon Johnson said back in the 60s. And that is, if you give a poor white guy somebody to punch down on, he'll let you take every penny out of his pocket. And I think it's just that simple, that a lot of, especially white folks in red states, just do not really care as long as these things are hurting people that they don't like.
So people are willing to lose their limbs and vision and mobility to punch down on someone else. I mean, that's just I've brought that up on this show. You know, it's really good to hear that from someone that's seen it from the government level, such as yourself. I want to pivot real briefly because, you know, this show and we're just really getting our footing on Sirius XM channel 141. I'm trying to move. I think the first iteration of this show really focused from the executive lens. I'm trying to move into more what resonates with consumers. Consumers aren't concerned about risk scores and star ratings, right, to an extent. They want the best network that they, sure, could possibly get. But I do have, right, a lot of listeners that are in the risk adjustment world. I come from that world. Come from the quality and stars, yeah, world. These audits with CMS are really something. Now, I'm glad that I'm not in the space anymore because my blood pressure, I would be in HCC land and being treated. These audits that are coming, and I'm always careful. I don't want to run afoul of CMS. I'm going to get a lot of people from CMS to do the show. But what are your thoughts about the audits and how small the timelines are for risk adjustment? You know, as, yeah, far as going back 5-6 years, but condensing that into a 1 year period where you may be hit with 5 or 6 audits. How will that have, yeah, an impact on health plans and how will that impact filter down to members and bids going into, and even AEP going into the fall, but bids going into next spring and members, yeah, for enrollment opportunities if CMS extrapolates significant amounts of capital from some of the payers, especially some of the large payers?
Well, let's get into risk adjustment in 1 second. Let me take one step back and make a point that nobody is talking about in our industry, and we need to. One of the things that this bill does is because it adds so much to our national debt, James, it's going to trigger what we call sequestration.
Right, sequestration.
Which are automatic across-the-board cuts in Medicare. So that means starting next year, this actually won't even wait until the midterms. This will start in January. Medicare, because of this bill, increasing the debt so much, is going to get cut by 4% a year, each year, across the board. Okay, 4% is double,
yeah,
the profit margin, yeah, that most, right, plans in Medicare Advantage make. And nobody is talking about this. And this is made worse by the fact that the plans had to submit their bids back in the first week of June.
Right before.
Before, yeah, this bill passed. And so none of the Medicare Advantage bids for 2026 have taken into account a 4% across the board cut in Medicare. So plans are facing a major headwind right out of the gate.
Right.
In 2026 that most of them may not even be aware is coming.
And that coupled with the fact that it's much more difficult to be a 4-star plan. I mean, we've seen that in old days, absolutely. 78, almost 80% prior to the pandemic of plans were operating in 4-star territory. It's, you know, yep, significantly less than that now. So those are two crushing blows.
But it's a really good point, James, because the only two revenue levers that Medicare Advantage plans have to fix a rate issue like we're going to see next year is, as you point out, improving their star ratings, making sure they're staying above that fourth star so they get the quality bonus. But then the second is risk adjustment. So let's talk about that. I think a lot of plans in this industry, James, got caught flat-footed because they just assume, oh, a Republican administration, they're going to slash regulations. They're going to make it a much more business-friendly environment. But that is not the case at all under Trump's Project 2025. Project 2025 says we need these overpayments to Medicare Advantage plans in order to help fund this tax cut. So what you saw was as soon as Dr. Oz got seated as the CMS administrator, he announces a very, very aggressive risk adjustment audit initiative where these guys are literally, he's going to hire 2,000 coders in the next couple of months. He said by September, in order to work on an audit of every Medicare Advantage plan's risk adjustment data to make sure that they're not upcoding and overbilling the program. And that is has put the fear of God into this industry, because now as we're seeing the Justice Department go after United with criminal charges, not just civil charges on risk adjustment upcoding, they're now seeking criminal counts against United's leadership for this stuff. This is really, I think, going to stanch the bleeding that we've seen and the rampant upcoding that's been going on across the industry in order to eke a few more billion dollars out of this program. So that spigot is going to get turned off. Plans are going to get consumed with preparing for these audits and trying to minimize the damage. And, you know, just yesterday, the S&P Managed Care Index, which tracks all of the major health insurers' stocks, was down at its lowest level since it started. So we're already seeing some major headwinds for this industry before these cuts even come on. And the hope is that Dr. Oz will recover billions of dollars, not just hundreds of millions, but billions of dollars from the plans through these audits. And, you know, we're just going to have to see. This is going to be all about execution of these 2,000 new coders. And I can just tell you, management is not a strong suit for this administration. I question whether or not they're going to be able to get this thing up on and running on the schedule that they're saying they will.
And I mean, just from as a person who's, you know, been a risk adjustment executive, just the accruals you're struggling to accrue for the last couple of years. You're looking there is no one in this country. I don't care how successful they are and what the RAF scores are and how the value-based care initiatives are linked. There's nobody that's ready to audit back to 2017. I mean, a lot of people have turned over. No one, imagine being a VP or SVP going to your CFO and saying that, hey, we're going to take a $30 to $50 million hit, but we're going to do that for 5 years. You need to book for $150 million loss that wasn't in fall plan. I mean, there's just no one that's prepared for that. And there's no one that's prepared, John, as someone that's managed, been through multiple RADVs myself. There's no one that has the system to be able to go back and has the internal coders or even vendor capacity to manage these programs 5-6 years in arrears, back to back to back. It's not structured that way. You're structured to manage, you know, current programs and be prepared for the RADV that may be coming from 5 years back. You're not prepared to do 5 years of service in 6 months. Nobody's prepared for that.
And you're exactly right. And I was just watching the movie Midway last night about the Battle of Midway during World War II. This is going to feel like the attack on Pearl Harbor on this industry. This is going to be an overwhelming number of audits that are, and look, if they even get this thing up to even to a fraction of the capacity that Dr. Oz envisions, it means every plan in the industry is going to suffer at least one of these audits next year or in this next year. And as you point out, nobody is prepared for this. And it's all downside for the industry. So I think we're going to see a lot of, you know, turtle head effect here and the plans starting to retrench with, you know, a stealth 4% cut to Medicare and these RADV audits, as well as you know, a real clamping down on the star rating system bonuses. I think this is going to be an industry in retreat in the next 4 years. And the big mantra I'm hearing, James, out there in the industry is it's not about membership anymore. Now it's all about margin.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, as like I said, as someone that's owned value-based care at multiple payers, just imagine trying to get hit with just 4% sequestration almost made me vomit on area. It's just, if you're getting hit with 1% or 1.5%, that's difficult. Yeah. 4%, just as someone that's done the bookings and advised CFOs, that's just untenable. And then the headwinds for star ratings and then these audits, it's definitely going to have downstream implications on the ability to create network adequacy, which is an issue that I'm really focused on this show and telling, especially the people in DC, because this is a DC based show on where they can get the ideal benefit coverage. So it's going to be a long back and forth discussion. You know, John, it's always a pleasure to have you on the show, for you to spend 20 minutes of your day talking to my audience and really helping them. Obviously, we want to get you back, especially going into the fall with AEP, because I want to create, I'm actually creating a hotline with some of the other co-hosts and people on the team to help guide individuals through AEP process and discuss which are some of the ideal plans. We don't want to do that for marketing and profit on the show. So I don't think that I'm going to endorse a specific plan on the show, but just really guide individuals, especially in Prince George's County, in DC, in West Baltimore, in the coverage area of WHUR, on how they can maximize their benefits. Before we let you go, John, are there any major projects? Because you're always investing in something, man. You're always working on something. Anything that you're working on that you want to discuss, or any ways to reach out to some of your people for various investments that you're doing right now?
Well, what I've been telling, you know, everybody in the industry who will listen, is that now is the time when these benefit designs for Medicare Advantage plans have to get back to basics. And when I say get back to basics, I mean Maslow's hierarchy of human needs, right? And the bottom of Maslow's hierarchy.
No more silver sneakers.
Oh, no. Silver sneakers needs to just get wiped out.
Right.
And all that money needs to be reinvested into food security, into housing supports, and into non-urgent transportation to be able to get people to their doctor's appointments or to the pharmacy or to the grocery store for some healthy food. Or now this is the new one, to a Social Security office if their local office has been eliminated by all these DOGE cuts. So, you know, this is really a time for the industry to have a come to Jesus moment and to really remember the most simple basic human needs are going to be the ones that need to be met in this next 4 years under this draconian new budget the Republicans just enacted.
The Rubicon in 3, 2, 1.
Paragon 7 Studios.
Begin searching for ways to not only feed, not only bridge the access to food, but how can we fight disease? Quite naturally, that required, it was a must that we figure out how to get fresh produce, crisp greens, leafy greens, and fruits and herbs and vegetables directly to the front door of those families that needed it the most. And so we finally come out with a solution, and we call that Full Cart Fresh. We have teamed up with some of the greatest people in America, our American farmers. And through working with a collaborative of farmers across multiple states, we have created Full Cart Fresh. So imagine this, you're at a farm, the produce is picked and prepared, and it's boxed in a Full Cart Fresh box at the farm. And then through our shipping and logistics program, we ship directly from the farm, directly to the front door of the most vulnerable families in America. We have got families and seniors and children around the country who are hungry, and as well as hungry, are really managing and coping with serious illnesses and diseases. So come along, help us. Help Feeding Children Everywhere through our Full Cart program and the launch of our new Full Cart Fresh. Help those families in need.
Rampage, the first lieutenant of the Universal Flipmo Squad.
The construction Timbs are classic in Philly and New York.
They are.
Connecticut.
James Lewis.
Never been to Connecticut, man.
Connecticut, Jersey, you're definitely from Uptown,
New York. You're definitely
Manhattan,
from New York if you
Harlem.
Shouted out Connecticut.
You're listening to the Lanch J Radio Network.
There's nothing like being in the stands cheering on your favorite team. Game Time is your hack to unlocking amazing tickets in just a few taps. Plus, their Game Time guarantee means you can trust you'll get 100% authentic tickets at the best price. Fees are always included, so what you see is what you pay. Get the best deals on sports tickets. Download the Game Time app and create an account to start searching for tickets to upcoming games and events. Swipe, tap, ticket, go. Game Time.